We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Ahoy, Verballers! This is your Captain Ty Hildenbrandt joining me, as always, on the open seas. Your Lieutenant Dan Rubenstein, sir. Ahoy! How are you?
Ahoy, Ty. I'm frosty here. I'm ocean adjacent, much more so than you are, and I can tell you, it is windswept.
Oh, yeah.
It is time to really be careful up there on the deck as we're getting close to shore, Ty. We are nearing close to college football postseason shore, but there's some work that has to be done. So
wait, have we been out?
Mind your mast.
Have we been out on the open seas this whole time, a la Waterworld, waiting for the season to end? Is that...
In a way, we've been floating along, Ty. In a way, we've sort of been floating along trying to figure out the ways of this beautiful sea. You know, the mysterious ways that she is able to take us from port to port.
Yep.
And just do our best along the way. But we've got a very exciting twos cruise for you today because we really, instead of a lot of what our twos cruise episodes have amounted to, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a chunk of what our twos cruise shows have amounted to have basically been variations of, is this situation all right? No? Okay, no, it's not. Is this situation all right? Oh, yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. We're going to try to take a pretty holistic view today on the twos cruise.
I'm very excited about that. If you are, I don't know, aboard for your maiden voyage here with us on the Solid Verbal or the twos cruise on the Solid Verbal, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for following the great sport of college football. We're going to be here with you all throughout the college football season, all throughout the calendar year, but we go three shows a week, at least for the next couple weeks until we figure out where all of this stuff is headed. This Tuesday show, again, not to wax poetic about what our intentions are here, but our purpose is to try and make sense of it all. To try and put the pieces together, see where things are going in the world of college football. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. You can do so out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, TuneIn, Podcast Addicts, excuse me.
Yeah, you're good.
I said Pocket Cast twice there. But anywhere you get your podcasts, you can listen to this show and subscribe. You can also follow us out there on social media. And if there's anything you missed in between, you can go on out to our website at solidverbal.com. That's where you can find all the good morsels that you might have missed amid us doing, gosh, three shows a week.
Yep.
As Dan said, this is the nautically themed show. One final point, if I could, Dan.
You may.
Before we jump into the
permission
game,
granted.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see who had a pick six for Notre Dame this past weekend?
Is it your guy? I forget, Kyle something?
It is not my guy. No. It's not Kyle Hamilton.
No. Oh, was it Moala?
It
I
is
wanted
Paul-
to say Feely Moala.
Paul Malala.
I am a woman.
La la.
Ugh. Feels good.
We're going to split our audience in half with the continued use of I am Moana, but the half that stays with us will be more dedicated to the cause than any podcast audience. I was honestly, if some people talked about the game last week, the I am Moana game, and we got some feedback from people who said, you know what? I appreciate the swing. Didn't get there for me. Got old. That was like a very small minority of people. I was anticipating it being a lot more split, a lot more people saying, I don't know, because that's how I felt. I had a good time doing the episode, but conceptually before I got into it, that's how I felt. And then we got the feedback from the listeners, and it turns out our listenership is like exclusively 33 and a half year old dads who appreciate and love Moana. So, you know, misstep from me, I guess, but I'm glad it was
Paul Moala.
Paul Moala.
So okay. Very close to Moana.
So, you know, we're inspiring the people.
What are we doing today? We're not doing the Moana theme again.
No.
This time you've got the keys. Where are we going on our twos cruise tonight?
So we're going oceanic. We are going with a river regatta. And we have a seafaring school of the week. First, though, by the way, rankings-wise...
Yes.
Here was your AP poll, because we're recording this, even though it's the Twos Cruise, it's recorded before the Tuesday rankings for the playoff. If that's a thing that you like, those come out. It's LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. Alabama, of course, down their starting quarterback. I don't know if you honestly believe, and I can listen to cases for each, but Alabama as the fifth best team in the country with Mac Jones, are they?
Wow.
Look. Yeah.
If there's any team in college football that can make that claim, it's probably Alabama. But Tua just took him to a different level, man. He was so good. You know, it's just such a watered down version with Mac Jones. And unfortunately, it sucks to say it, but I'm inclined to say no, they're not top five.
So do you think, and I did not, you know, schedule this question with you. I didn't put this in our outline or anything like that. So I apologize for putting you on the spot like this. But there are and have been ways in which Alabama could sort of sneak, is too derisive a term, but Alabama could get into the playoff if unexpected losses were to happen to, say, you know, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State in conference championship games, and Alabama looks strong against Auburn and doesn't have to play. You know, we've seen that scenario before.
Sure.
If Alabama is in position at 11-1, let's say Mac Jones leads Alabama to a comfortable, if not dominant, win over Auburn. Like a 24-14. And it's never really in doubt there, you know, last few minutes of the game.
Sure.
They finish 11-1, and there's a good enough case for Alabama to get in. But we have a pretty good sense that Mac Jones is not probably a good enough quarterback to be a top team, to lead a top team and to beat a top team. Should that be dramatically considered by the committee? Should that just be a factor in a sea of many factors? Where do you come down?
I think it should be a factor. I think it should be something the committee considers. You might remember a couple of years ago with Cardale Jones.
Absolutely.
And Ohio State, that was a very unique situation. He was a third string quarterback.
Did they leave doubt, though?
They didn't leave doubt. And I think that's your point. And I think it's a valid one.
But they won their conference. Ohio State won their conference. Yeah.
They won their conference, but they also looked really good down the stretch with Cardale Jones at the helm.
Right.
And I think that's the point you're going for here. If Mac Jones can come out and lead Alabama to, you know, very decisive victory in all of their remaining games, then it's obviously a tougher spot for the committee to be in. The problem I have with it is there's so much ammo elsewhere. You know, even though there was a debate back in that Cardale Jones era, what Ohio State did removed so much doubt that it was almost, I thought, a no-brainer for them to go through into the playoff. But there are so many other really good teams. Like, we've got an interesting case developing in the Pac-12, let's say, if both Oregon and Utah win out and play in the Pac-12 championship. Oklahoma. Right, Oklahoma, maybe not the best showing this past weekend, but they're going to have a chance against Oklahoma State. They're going to have another chance in the Big 12 championship game.
Both of those teams have you know, title claims in their conference, though.
They would have title claims in their conference. Right. Sure. So I think it's too crowded for Alabama at this juncture.
You mentioned how, and I'll remove the Big Ten championship from it. In the way that you mentioned Cardale Jones and Ohio State left no doubt, just murdering Wisconsin, taking it to Alabama, and obviously winning the national championship eventually. But in that way, if Alabama is in the conversation, which is a lot more wild cardy perhaps, and Ohio State was sort of in that position, but they got in. If they are in that, you know, every chaos happens these last couple sure. weeks, and Alabama is on nearly equal footing as a bunch of other teams. Is there a degree of victory, a margin of victory over Auburn that will ease your mind into Mac Jones and Alabama being more of a playoff consideration? If they beat them 35-3, if they beat them 52-20, like if they really lay it on them, does that sway you anymore?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think it's sort of human nature to
yeah.
get margin.
I don't think you can write them off.
No, I'm not. But I'm not willing to write them off. All I'm saying is we have insufficient data on Mac Jones and what the Mac Jones offense looks like. And it also feels more crowded this year and will be more complicated. The road is more complicated for Alabama than it was for Ohio State in a somewhat similar situation a couple of years ago.
Where do you think, and I don't know if you have the rankings in front of you, where do you think there is a line? Where is that line? Is it after Oklahoma before Penn State? Is it after Penn State before Florida? Is it after Alabama before Oregon? Where is the playoff caliber tier to you?
Well, if we're talking about the AP, we've got LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, right. Georgia. I would say the playoff line for me is after Clemson. And
wow.
I feel really strongly about those top three teams. But everything below that line, to me, comes with a degree of risk. And certainly, those teams are not without question. Georgia, we've talked ad nauseum about their offense. Defense, very good. Mm-hmm. Offense, a concern. Alabama, we just spent the first 10 minutes of this show talking about Mac Jones mm-hmm. and Tua and what the offense looks like. Lack of a championship, so on and so forth. Oregon and Utah are interesting. And I hope to God they both play in that Pac-12 game. That would be a lot of fun. But I think
Oregon's in. Yeah.
We both have questions about each of those two teams. Oklahoma, my lingering question is, can they separate from a top 40 team? Didn't happen this past weekend. You could argue they were lucky to win.
Yeah.
And certainly with Penn State and you go down to Florida, it's, you know, maybe Penn State still has a puncher's chance. I don't think that's the case, but I could certainly envision that scenario. And I think Florida's just too far down. Plus, they've got two losses. So in terms of who do I feel confident in as a playoff team, it really is only three teams at this point. And it's LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson. They're the three unbeatens.
So my hang tier is after Utah. I think Utah, Oregon, Alabama, and Georgia could all hang with the top three teams, could all appear to be playing on the same level. I think you're right in saying LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson right now have sort of pulled away from the field. But I think in terms of Georgia's defense, Oregon's, you know, combination of defense and quarterback, Utah's defense, and Oregon, Utah, you can make an argument that they aren't fully tested. They haven't separated themselves really
sure.
from a good team.
Right.
I think it's between Utah and Oklahoma. Oklahoma doesn't seem trustworthy to me. The degree to which their defense has fallen against pretty decent teams has them on the outside looking in. But otherwise, I think the other teams, those four teams, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Utah, are all playoff caliber.
Yeah, I agree that they're playoff caliber. And I think to some degree they're playoff worthy. But just in terms of confidence now,
sure.
confidence, given where we are, I'm really only mm-hmm. confident in those top three teams.
Is there any team that doesn't have the resume, but that you think could neutral site any given Saturday type thing? Like, do you think Michigan all of a sudden looks like they're hangable? I guess we'll know against Ohio State in a couple of weeks, but is there any team outside of that conversation that at least does something well enough to say, well, I don't know.
Michigan's interesting, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Florida. So you're saying basically outside that top eight.
Outside that top eight, or outside even, like, Florida's had their shots against playoff caliber teams, and so has Michigan, obviously. But right now, the level that Michigan is playing, to me, there's something a little interesting.
Well, it's ever since the second half of the Penn State game.
Yeah.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. It seems like, I don't know, I wouldn't say things clicked, but things sort of did click. And then there was the Notre Dame game where they destroyed Notre Dame. And since then, they've been playing really well. Offensively, Shea Patterson has had his best game this past weekend as a Wolverine. So
right.
All that stuff is very encouraging. But certainly as you go down past 8 and 9 with Penn State, of every team, I would say beyond Penn State, I think I fear Michigan the most. I think they're the one that feels like they're playing with the most momentum right now. And, you know, a game this weekend against Indiana, which we'll talk about on Thursday, but certainly the game against Ohio State looms pretty large.
The other wild card I have is Colgate.
Colgate, sure.
Do you want to play our first game?
I'd love to.
Yes! All right. I guess I should introduce it since it's my day, my games. So we've talked about currents before. We've talked about was the Antarctic Circumpolar Current. Also,
sure.
By the way,
yeah,
we've mentioned that. Also, an object of a great news story in that scientists confirm that this is much more powerful than originally thought. I love a good originally thought. I love like giant squids are, or I guess just squid, giant squid are up to 85% bigger than scientists ever imagined they would. Stuff like that I love in the science world.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we're gonna dive literally, figuratively, into currents, Ty.
Okay.
And we're gonna go through some Power 5 divisions, and we have a G5 game after this. But we're gonna go into some divisions, and we're gonna sort of determine and have an opinion about which teams are currently riding the current, which teams are moving in the right direction. Everything appears to be moving the right way. They're in that Antarctic circumpolar situation.
So kind of like Michigan, as we just described, right?
Yes. So I don't have the Big Ten East on my list. I think we're going to go through some very specific divisions. Let's start with the SEC East.
Okay.
And it can be one team. It can be no teams. It can be six teams. It can be however many you'd like. But in the SEC East, which teams do you feel like are moving in the correct direction?
Okay. So this is sort of like a Moana theme. I can play the sound if you'd like.
Moana theme was sort of like looking to the horizon to see who needs to make a change.
Sure.
I would like to highlight teams who, you know, have their rudders under them, Ty.
All right. Well, Georgia, I think, goes without saying.
Let me offer something else. Georgia's been in that direction all season long.
Sure.
This isn't a recent current. I want a team that is I want a team who is moving forward, whereas Georgia is just forward.
Okay.
I want momentum.
Well, I think the most obvious one is probably Florida.
Sure.
And sure, they might classify as a team that has been moving forward, but it certainly hasn't been for all that long. And what I'm encouraged by on the Florida front is something that we mentioned on Sunday. They've been forced to play pretty much all this year with a backup quarterback. There's a really good chance they're going to finish 10-2. That's an outstanding season for Dan Mullen. If you're a Florida fan and you see a 10-win season, knowing some of the challenges they've had,
Wins over Miami and Florida State.
Huge wins, just within the context of Florida football, at a bare minimum. Those are big wins.
Yeah, at 10-2.
Some of the challenges they've had, both with injury and without injury. Running the football has been a bit of an issue, sometimes better than others. But I think the extent to which they were able to rely on that defense, get enough out of their offense, at times a lot out of their offense, on way to what appears to be a 10-win season, you can't help but coming away feeling pretty encouraged about the future at Florida.
I think that's totally right. And good defense that has been beat up at times, and the backup quarterback are huge. I was almost going to go Kentucky for trying to follow up a historic year, losing as much as they did, and then losing as much as they did this year, especially at quarterback. The defense has still been pretty good up front, and they should make a bowl game. So that was my initial direction, but I think I'm going to go Tennessee, actually.
Tennessee.
The Tennessons, man.
Yeah, let's talk about Tennessee. And one final point on Kentucky.
Yeah.
Again, something that comes to mind just because we talked about it on the Sunday show, but we saw a lot of production at the running back position for Kentucky. Again, they've had to shift their whole offense because of injury, and the whole Terry Wilson thing sucks. Yeah. They were without him this year. One of the good guys in college football. But the fact that they're able to rely on two redshirt freshmen to rush for a bunch of yardage, I think is it's important. You know, they've been working to try and build that program up from a depth perspective for a while now. So the fact that they're kind of there, even if it's only at one position, I think is proof positive that something's going in a good direction.
So with Tennessee, they've won 4 of 5. I think the defense has been pretty good. They've gotten some big plays from some big play guys on offense. They've had nice moments through the air. And especially with that start and losing the games, I won't say they've lost them in freak ways, but they lost them last second to teams that they really had no business losing to. And to maintain focus and to have the second half of the season that they've had, again, winning 4 of 5, Mississippi State, South Carolina, UAB, Kentucky, not terrible teams, South Carolina, maybe, but finishing with Mizzou and Vandy and saying, yeah, they have a chance to beat Mizzou on the road. That would have been a weird thing to say at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The tennisance is real. We talked about it. This is just reinforcing my own somewhat okay prediction. So that's why I have, and I have Mizzou is just floating way outside of the current.
Okay.
Mizzou, just no offense since Ole Miss. They've lost 5 straight. And again, should probably lose at home to Tennessee. Wild to say in August.
All right. What is our next division?
The Big Ten West.
Oh,
who has
okay.
the current, and should we just discuss the Illinois Fighting Illini?
Well, Minnesota, I think, is assumed, right?
Yes, they're assumed because they've been doing it all year long. Nothing is carrying them forward faster than usual.
I feel like even though Wisconsin started out like a ball of fire and seemed to have the wind in their sails, even though there have been some unfortunate losses there, and maybe we're not talking about them in the same manner, they are at least continuing to drift in a good direction.
Correct.
Iowa has been drifting sort of in the doldrums for a long time now. Like, they're always the same team. Reliable, but always the same team.
Yeah, I think there's a case that their current has started because of what they did this past, but we're looking for more momentum.
They always have conflicting currents. Like, the defense is pretty consistent. This year, they've got a pretty good quarterback that I think we like, but they still can't really run the ball. So it's conflicting. It's doldrummy. Illinois is the answer here, Dan.
So, Ty, Illinois is the number one team in college football as it relates to turnover margin. Turnovers, as we know, are largely luck-based. Which way the ball bounces on a fumble, somebody getting their hand up to tip an interception is skill, but where that ball goes, who it bounces off of, there's a lot of luck involved in turnovers. That luck current has been pushing the SS Illini pretty well. And I read to you right now, this is how Illinois ends up in the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, give it to me.
Illinois needs to win at Iowa. I did not come up with this, by the way, but this was from, I think, Jeremy Werner from 24/7. Illinois needs to win at Iowa. Minnesota needs to lose at Northwestern. Okay. Wisconsin needs to lose at home to Purdue. Illinois needs to win at home against Northwestern. Okay. Wisconsin needs to win at Minnesota. That's the Paul Bunyan's axe game.
Sure.
So I'm counting 1, 2 of those 5 things seeming likely. But it only takes 5. Only 5 things for the Illini to end up in Indy.
Wow.
That's a current, Ty.
Yeah.
That's a current. Okay. Do you want to go to a new division? Because I have Nebraska floating along, and I don't want to talk about Nebraska.
Yeah, let's go to the next division.
The ACC Coastal, Ty.
Oh, boy.
Who has that Antarctic circumpolar under them?
Virginia Tech's the obvious one right now.
I think that's a good answer.
Virginia Tech is 7-3, very quietly.
7-5 of 6.
Yeah, they've pulled it together after a bit of a rocky start. And I remember it wasn't all that long ago, people are talking about Justin Fuente.
Ooh, buyout, yeah.
Buyout, yeah. What happens? I don't think he's in any danger at this point, the way he's pulled things together. And just the way they're playing, I think he's got the inside track on winning the ACC Coastal, which would be a really nice story in college football. Outside of Virginia Tech, though, this is tough. You could argue that Virginia feels like they're going against the current right now.
Yeah. Virginia's been tough.
Virginia's been tough.
Pitt still has an opportunity.
Still is an opportunity, for sure.
Yeah.
Pitt, I never know what to think about Pitt. Every week, I feel like I want to be more confident in Pitt. They do something to make me less confident.
Okay.
So it's sort of a conflicting currents.
They've won three of four. They finished a couple toss-ups.
Yeah.
Pass defense has been very strong. Offense has been the issue. Outside of course, our new guy, Shockey Jacques-Louis.
I like that. Thank you. That was very good.
Yeah, of course.
There, I think my problem with the Coastal outside of Virginia Tech is there are a couple teams that maybe have a light current.
Okay.
You know, like Pitt, maybe. Sometimes. Miami, I've got reason to be hopeful.
See, Miami might be my answer.
I've got reason to be hopeful about Miami. I've got reason to be hopeful about North Carolina. Even reason to be hopeful about Georgia Tech.
Are they fully being pushed by the momentum of quality results?
No, that's my problem with this.
Right. I think my answer is probably Miami, but Virginia Tech's right there. Pitt is too much of a huge question mark on offense. Miami's won 4 of 5 against, you know, not insignificant or significant opponents. Virginia, Pitt, Louisville, Florida State. They lost to Georgia Tech. What? They've been generating big plays on the ground. They've had some turnover luck, but the defense has been strong. In terms of who I think I'd like based on their recent results on a neutral field tonight, call up Adam Amin. Get his whole crew together. Let's make something happen. Let's everybody meet in Charlotte and figure out how to play this game. As tournament, I think it's Miami. To me, it's Miami right now.
All right.
I think they have the momentum. Duke is floating. Duke is floating nowhere near the current. Their offense has been an abject disaster. And we talk about Illinois. Duke is dead last among Power 5 teams in turnovers lost. Not helpful.
No.
What is the baseball term when like a pitcher hits a home run, helping his own cause?
Yeah, you got to help yourself, yeah.
Duke is not helping their own cause with that stat. The Pac-12 South.
Wow. Was this question sponsored by Clay Helton?
Hey, before we go on, let's talk about Clay Helton and the job he's done here. Now, the Clay Heltons are built in a... I was just going to go through an ad read for Clay Helton. built in a German blade factory.
Right.
So, the Pac-12 South, in terms of currents, who is riding high right now?
Well, Utah's riding high.
Correct.
We assume that,
yes.
Right? Outside of USC, UCLA's had spurts.
Are we allowed to say that on the show?
Sure.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'd say they're riding high. Arizona State just lost to Oregon State. They're certainly not riding high.
No.
Arizona's been kind of a nightmare all year.
Floating nowhere near the circle.
Yeah, and Colorado is in transition.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any momentum to speak of there. I like the higher. I think ultimately they'll get there. But for the time being, outside of Utah, the only answer here could possibly be USC. That's it.
Yeah, USC is 1-4-5, but they should have lost to Colorado, and they got blown out by Oregon. And so it's hard to feel super confident, even with a nice showing against Cal. I have this as just low tide. I don't, you know, I think it's a dearth of aqua momentum. and Arizona's floating. You fire your defensive coordinator, and you finish, by the way, with road game, rivalry, territorial cup, and Utah. It's going to be a rough finish.
It's tough, yeah. That's tough.
Let's just talk Texas teams.
Ooh,
teams in the state of Texas that play in the Big 12, because there's no division to specifically look at.
Okay, so that means, as I pull it up here, we're talking about Baylor.
Yeah.
The Texas Longhorns, TCU, and Texas Tech.
Yes.
So four teams. Baylor, I think, has been going in a good direction all year.
Yes.
The loss against Oklahoma was a bit of a setback, but we'll always have the first half, won't we?
We will. And even Baylor, I think Bear fans would be pretty quick to tell you, they're not feeling like, as a complete team and as results go, that they're skimming atop the water. They're winning a lot more often than not. But recently with TCU, who did they have before? West Virginia. That was not a particular current inspiring game. So even that answer is not fully accurate.
You can't say Texas with a straight face here.
No, you cannot.
It's been a rough year for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
To say the absolute very least, Their secondary has been a disaster. They've had a lot of injuries. They've got four losses. So Texas isn't the answer here. TCU, you could maybe make a case for TCU.
Let's talk Frogs, Ty.
I don't really want to, but if you insist.
Yeah.
First, before we talk Frogs, where do we stand on Texas Tech?
I mean, it's the same thing when, who did you bring up? Colorado, that it's a transitionary year for Texas Tech. I've been impressed with the Red Raiders. Yeah. And if we want to talk Tech, we can. I think it's between TCU and Texas Tech.
I think so, too. And what I'd point to with Tech, and I'm, you know, I got the stats in front of me here. There aren't any great eye-popping stats. Obviously, this is a team that's got a bunch of losses.
Right.
Six losses, 4-6 right now at time of recording. But it does feel like this is a team that has played hard every game. And after a coaching change, after losing their quarterback very early on, clearly the results have not been there, but took TCU to the gun this past weekend, lost to Kansas, but that was close. They were within 10 at Iowa State, within 3 against Baylor, got destroyed by Oklahoma. That wasn't very pretty, but point here is that they've been in a lot of games and it's been a rough go, but they've maintained that intensity. And I like seeing that.
I think it's Frogs. So they beat a talented offense in Tech. You beat Texas by 10. I don't know how you don't even with this year's Texas version, you got it. That has to be a notch. Take Baylor to overtime, a top 15 team, 9-all, I think, at the end of regulation. I think it's Frogs who are riding a bit of an interesting current. Not a powerful one, but an interesting one.
I'm very interested in the whole Max Duggan thing.
I mean, clean
he's a freshman. He's a freshman. If he can continue to improve, that would go a long way towards making me feel more confident in TCU, because quarterback has been a bit of an issue for them the last couple seasons now. So it's good to see he's getting reps as a freshman. Obviously needs to clean things up a bit, but you know, if they have truly something there, that would be very encouraging moving forward.
The reps seem invaluable. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to have some big opportunities now down the stretch. You know, there's
who does TCU finish with?
TCU finishes, well, this week they're on the road at Oklahoma.
Right. Okay.
Which would be good experience for a freshman quarterback. And then they close out the year at home against West Virginia,
which is a bowl play-in, I believe, for them if they lose to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So they have something to play for sure.
Yes. Agree. Okay. So that was A Current Affair. Play the sound one more time.
All right, Dan, before we go any further, during Thanksgiving week, FYI, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game.
Oh.
Just pick a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, great. Congrats.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, well, congrats as well. MyBookie's going to give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer. You literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. Doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come and play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. All you got to do is log on to mybookie.ag, make your first deposit with the promo code SOLID, and MyBookie is going to match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat. Guaranteed deposit match risk-free bet on Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
There's a scene in, I'm going to be honest, it's one of my all-time favorite movies, The Social Network, Ty.
You love that movie, don't you?
I love The Social Network so much. When I do work, when I'm editing scripts, when I'm studying, I will listen to The Social Network soundtrack. It is outstanding. And obviously, there was a scene in The Social Network that was on water with the Winklevi rowing in that crew race, the Henley on Thames. I don't know if you remember that scene.
I do.
Yeah. So the name of this game that we're about to play, we're gonna take a look at, I think, G5 divisional races right now.
Oh boy.
Because they're all pretty wide open. Wide is maybe too extreme, but they're all fairly open. So the name of this game is Regatta Win Your Division First, Ty.
Love that sound clip.
Thank you.
Maybe my favorite that we've played all year next to I'm Spicy and I Am Moana.
Next to the ones that you've selected.
Yes, that's right.
Next to the ones you've selected. Okay, let's start with the American because we've got the East with Cincinnati up two games. They have to lose to both Temple and Memphis, and Temple needs to beat UConn as well for Temple to take the division. Now, Cincinnati has taken a step back defensively against the pass. The offense is only okay, but they're surviving. They're winning their clunkers like we saw last week. So Cincinnati looks to be in a pretty good position. Should also mention Temple with Rod Carey is sort of, they are Northern Illinois of years past. I like Anthony Russo fine. Some accuracy issues, giving the ball away a little bit. They were murdered by UCF and SMU.
They've got an identity.
They have an identity. They field a really strong defense when they're not being murdered. In the West, three-way tie atop the West. Memphis, SMU, SMU, and Navy. Memphis has the breaker because they've beaten both SMU and Navy. Obviously, the Tiger offense, Norvell, has been terrific, okay enough on defense. They did lose to Temple. And SMU and Navy play on Saturday.
Yes.
So this is getting sorted out as we speak. So that's not the worst thing ever. And it should be noted that Tulsa, ECU, and I'm on the record, I like where ECU's going. I like where they're going. And UConn have all been a nightmare and are winless in the conference. So should be noted. Any thoughts about the American?
I'm very curious to see Memphis-Cincinnati. Playing 2 weeks on the 29th. Right now, I'm seeing a projected margin of Memphis by about 12.
Oh, okay.
Which seems a little steep to me.
Conference USA. It's looking like it's going to be Marshall against the winner of Louisiana Tech and UAB. La Tech. Skip Holtz, future Notre Dame coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's mean. It's very mean.
That's pretty good. But neither one of those teams are terrific, but that's okay. It should also be noted that ODU, Old Dominion, and UTEP are disasters, and congratulations to Rice for getting off the disaster board this past week.
That is correct.
There's your Conference USA check-in. The Mountain West West will be decided between San Diego State and Hawaii. Huge game this weekend for the division, and if you're interested, Hawaii is actually running the ball a lot better than they throw the ball, and going up against a San Diego State run defense that's excellent, and a San Diego State offense that they get 11 guys out there, Ty. As nice a thing I can say about the San Diego State offense. And in the Mountain Division, Ty, Boise is at Utah State this weekend, and that should decide things for the Mountain.
Wow.
Utah State has lost a lot of non-conference games, but doing pretty well still, even though their offense has taken a pretty gigantic leap back with the absence of Matt Wells and his staff, but good enough. So that should be fun, especially with how beat up Boise is at quarterback. That should be pretty competitive.
They're starting like their 15th string now, aren't they? Something like
they
that.
They are. Jalen Henderson did a nice job this past weekend. And UNLV and New Mexico are both disasters in the
Terrible.
Mountain West.
Terrible.
I think I can say that into mid to late November. The MAC, Miami of Ohio, Western Michigan, is what we're looking at. And I should also, because I like to pat myself in the back because I'm so rarely correct, I brought up Levante Bellamy, I think, on our Dude watch list episode. the Western Michigan running back, who I said reminded me a little bit of LaMichael James, having an outstanding year for Western Michigan. So
nice.
I just, you know, want to shout that kind of thing out when it's appropriate. Sun Belt.
Ooh.
So App State has taken a little bit of a step back on defense, but they still have Zach Thomas, who's very good. They can't lose to Troy if it wants to win the Sun Belt East. And on the other side, Louisiana Lafayette, whichever you prefer, looking good, but also has Troy and Louisiana Monroe, who are both okay. Do you have any thoughts about the Sun Belt, the Mountain West, or the MAC?
I would say most intense thought.
Oh, I'm sitting down now.
Please do. I love App State.
Okay.
And I feel guilty because for, I don't know, at least the last 5 years, I have made fun of you for liking App State as much as you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very apparent from watching them and paying more attention to the Mountaineers this season that this is a legit football program. They're very good. Lost their coach, bring in a new guy, Eli Drinkwitz. They have been outstanding. They have continued that momentum. And it's exciting to see them doing as well as they have this season. It's clearly a very good football program.
They've beaten three separate Carolinas, North, South, and Coastal.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good. I mean, Coastal Carolina is not pretty good. But to beat North and South Carolina is nothing unusual. I would say the only thing with App State is this should be a good year with how the program was left by Scott Satterfield. And I know Eli Drinkwitz should get credit for how well he has stewarded the program in year zero, year one, whatever. I'm interested to see if he is going to stay at App State as long, if he is able to keep this going. Because inevitably, there will be jobs along that Eastern Seaboard. He's coached everywhere, though.
Yeah,
he's coached in the South. He was at Boise. He's at NC State. So I think he could be a name, and I don't know if he will stay as long at App State if he continues this level of success.
Well, they've just been very good. They've been very good. They've beaten the teams in front of them, with the exception, of course, that Georgia Southern game.
Right.
Which is a matchup that has posed some challenges for them in the past here in recent memory. But by and large, still a really solid football program. Beat South Carolina 2 weeks ago on the road. That's not something that's easy to do. The teams like, there are far more well-known programs that are unable to do that.
Yeah, it's a good year to get South Carolina, I would posit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they have a couple nice wins, the win over Louisiana and the at least the win over North Carolina to me. Those are significant. South Carolina, yes, there are elements of the offense that have been impressive, but weird year for the Gamecocks. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know if you have any strong FBS independence thoughts. I'm positive UMass isn't good.
No, they're terrible.
It's been a down year for Army. It's been up and down, I guess, supposed for Liberty. BYU started really encouraging to beat Tennessee and USC. Notre Dame, obviously, the class of the independents. New Mexico State has had a rough go. I don't know if you have strong thoughts there.
No, my thoughts are pretty confined to Notre Dame, but I don't want to bore people with those.
No, hold on. Let's do a little Notre Dame check-in.
Oh, boy.
Let's do a little Irish check-in.
Okay, so, what do you want to know?
Have they improved over the course of the season? Are there position groups that you're encouraged by? Is there something that you feel dramatically is wrong with this team that needs to be addressed post-haste? What are your most dramatic thoughts about Notre Dame? It's been a pretty good stretch for them recently.
It's been a pretty good stretch for them, I would say, on the whole. If they finish 10-2, look, that's a pretty good year.
For sure. And
I think it would be, quite frankly, unrealistic to expect that they would be 12-0 again.
Win over Virginia Tech looks better.
It looks better, but I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we can cut Stanford out now because Stanford really isn't where Stanford has been in recent memory. But
right.
I said at the start of the year that I thought the season was going to run through three games, and that was going to be game at Athens, game in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's two.
Palo Alto.
Okay.
Which will strike from the record here. But
okay.
I wasn't wrong about that. This wasn't any advanced prognostication. Everyone was kind of in the same boat when it came to Notre Dame. Ian Book to me has been for the most part, solid. I think what I find discouraging about Ian Book this year has been the limitations in his game being so it's mostly been on his shoulder to try and move this offense forward. He hasn't had that complimentary running game.
Right.
We have seen the limitations. They are there. You know that there are limitations with Ian Book's game. Good quarterback, obviously can get it done with both the arm and the legs, but there are limitations in his game. And so that part, I think, has been disappointing. I was hoping for more of a step forward.
Can you love him for who he is instead of who he isn't?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Just making sure.
I mean, he's a gritty competitor.
Right.
And Notre Dame is still better off with him, I think, than they are without him. For as fun as it is to think about Phil Jurkovec and his wonky delivery, I still think Ian Book is the best.
What is wonky about his delivery?
Oh, it's all over the place. Oh, go on YouTube.
Is he like Rick Ankiel?
It's more like Byung-Hyung Kim, I'll say.
Oh, he sidearms?
Kind of.
Whoa.
Just go on YouTube and find it while we're
discussing
it.
It's not a shot putty thing, though. It's not like
No.
Martinez.
Okay. It's not a Bryant Moniz. It's more of a Byung-Hyung Kim.
Oh, man.
Go on YouTube and check it out.
Nowhere else can you get these types of
hard-hitting
pieces of analysis.
So the Ian Book thing to me has been up and down, but, you know, I'm okay with it by now. I've accepted it. The running game, I was hoping that there would be more of a leap forward in the running game. That has not been there. So that's been disconcerting.
Do you have a big picture concern as to why Notre Dame is squarely not able to find and develop quarterbacks like other powers are able to?
That is the big picture concern.
So what? Yeah, what?
That is the concern.
There should be a guy who is willing to go to Notre Dame and a coach who is able to develop him. Because
you would think, right?
Second year Kaiser. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who are like, all right. But there's nobody at Notre Dame. I don't know who the last dude, like capital D dude, is at quarterback for Notre Dame. To you, you know, even is it Jimmy Clausen putting up big numbers on an only okay team? I don't know who it is.
Maybe Kaiser. I don't know. It's a
hard
question.
Kaiser.
It's a hard question. It's a hard question. Like, if you look through every position group over the last 10 years, let's say,
like Notre Dame can't find a Tanner Morgan, who is like lighter recruited, but can develop into something pretty impressive?
First off, it's been rare that they've had a starter for multiple seasons.
Right.
Consecutive seasons.
True.
And secondly, doesn't feel like any of them have developed.
Mm-hmm.
But really, seriously, Dan, across the board, running back, there have been flashes of brilliance. They've had some good running backs.
Definitely.
Receiver has been a huge success story, as has tight end. They've had some really high-level talent. Offensive line has been a huge success story.
Right.
Defensive line, linebacker, safety and secondary getting better. They've
like,
gotten better.
Would you freak out if you had a Keaton Slovis situation?
Where would I
like,
freak
oh, wow,
out?
We have a really in a good way. Like, wow, we have a really promising true freshman quarterback who is showing out and putting up big numbers, going downfield and looks confident.
I wouldn't freak out. I would unfortunately be very insecure about that situation.
You'd wait for the other shoe to drop.
I'd be very insecure about that situation. It's not all that dissimilar from what we saw with DeShone Kizer.
Okay.
DeShone Kizer comes in after, remember, Zaire broke his foot or whatever it was on the road at Virginia. Notre Dame's basically going to lose that game if not for DeShone Kizer coming in and hooking up with Will Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued that momentum through the season. Notre Dame had an incredible year. Kizer, I maybe got a little better the next year, but it wasn't so much so that he was a consensus first round NFL talent.
Right.
That's what people were saying when he came in.
Right.
Big kid,
arm strength,
big arm, good decision maker. It just didn't materialize. So unfortunately, if Notre Dame had the Keaton Slovis situation, I don't think I'd be very confident that it's something sustainable from year one to year two.
Would you be more excited with current or even recent quarterbacks in the state of Indiana? Would you be more excited to have Peyton Ramsey as your quarterback?
No.
Would you be more excited to have like David Blough?
No.
From Purdue than Ian Book? Okay.
No.
I'm trying to get a sense.
I think Ian Book's a very good college quarterback.
Okay.
He's a very good college quarterback. And it's around that time of year when people start looking forward, and I've seen a couple, and I get it. I get that people have to say it, but when I read an article and people say, Ian Book will probably be back for his senior year, he ain't going pro. This is not a pro talent. All right. He is going pro someday in something other than sports, and that's fine. But Ian Book will be back for his final season.
Can I give you two more names?
Please.
Brock Purdy.
I would love Brock Purdy. Oh, God.
Dylan Gabriel.
No, I'll still take Ian Book.
Whoa. I don't know about that. I think I'd probably take Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, I feel like Book's tougher. He's bigger.
He is
not
bigger.
Much bigger, but
just about everybody else is bigger.
He may have a stronger arm than Dylan Gabriel, too.
Okay. Can we do the this week's Seafaring School of the Week?
I would love to.
Okay. Save the music.
I got it ready.
You got the music ready? Let's shine a spotlight on the Barry Vikings. Hit the music. 9-1 in the Southern Athletic Association. The SAA tie. Located in Rome, Georgia, about 72 miles northwest of Atlanta. Rome, Georgia, I should mention, the hometown of one Will Muschamp.
Oh, okay.
And Dan Reeves, who is success adjacent. I don't know if there's a better way to describe Dan Reeves' career. John Pemberton, inventor of Coca-Cola, and Navy Admiral John H. Towers. Navy Admiral, I'm tying it all back. He flew the Navy's first seaplane, a Curtiss A-1.
Wow.
Navy Admiral John H. Towers, the Barry College campus tie, has hosted film projects, including Remember the Titans?
Wow.
And Sweet Home Alabama, Suck It Alabama. You could not have a film location for a movie with your state's title in it the way that Georgia could, I assume, because of tax breaks.
That's right.
The Barry Vikings are 9-1. They lost last year in the second round of the D3 playoffs to eventual D3 champion Mary Hardin Baylor, which, yes, is related to Baylor. It was the women's college that eventually became co-ed. So it's still a small college, but the co-ed version then I think became Baylor. I got it somewhat right there. Their only loss this year is to Birmingham Southern. Mason Kinsey, terrific receiver for the Barry Vikings. They are second in scoring in the SAA, thanks to also a dominant rushing attack. And they lead the SA in takeaways. Wow. So your Baring Vikings are the Solid Verbal Seafaring School.
I love it. I love it, Dan.
Yeah. Nice little spotlight for you.
Awesome. Is that all we got?
That's all I have, Ty. I am plumb out of college football talking points.
Just a relaxing twos cruise this week, huh?
Was it?
Right up until the point we started talking TCU and Notre Dame, I was really enjoying myself. Thank you.
Do you think you would last on a deadliest catch type situation?
If
you were assigned a very specific role and you're like, all you have to do is yank on this rope for this to happen, but you got to be out there with us for, I don't know how long they're out there, weeks, days, whatever it is. Do you think mentally and physically you could hold up?
I could probably hold up mentally. I don't know about physically.
Ooh, other way for me.
Yeah.
By the way, when I say other way, I mean both mentally and physically. I'm out. That seems very difficult.
It seems extraordinarily difficult.
I'm always wondering how much inside time they get because they have a lot of outside time.
Definitely more than it looks on the show.
Right. Oh, that. I watch that and I think about how long I could last doing it. And I think max day and a half, 2 days.
Really?
You think you could make it a full week out there? 5 days?
Oh, man.
9 days? It's the lack of sleep. All the crap.
Well, I could deal with lack of sleep.
Yeah.
But,
really?
Man, I don't know. I would probably be swept away into the Bering Sea.
You'd be like, well, you would come up at the end of an episode. This episode is dedicated to Ty Hilton Brandt.
Yeah.
The sea has him.
The sea has me. No, right. The sea would probably throw me around pretty good.
It's a rough.
Yeah.
I could not last. I couldn't.
I think I'd probably die of fear dealing with some of the waves out there. That would kill me.
I would make, I think, for a good grizzled veteran.
Yeah. Like you could probably grow a really good deadliest catch beard, like George Clooney in Perfect Storm.
Me?
One of those. Yeah.
I don't think I can do that. I don't get enough coverage upper lip, no.
Hmm.
But I think I'd be very good weaving tails in a bar near the ocean after the fact.
Just like that a storyteller capacity. You'd be the correct PR guy.
That's right. I would be like, oh, 92? Oh my God. Lucky to be here.
Yeah.
I'd be very good at that. All right. That's our show.
Well, thank you, Verballers, for setting sail as we've reached dock here on the Twos Cruise. We'll be back on Thursday previewing all the action before us. A couple games of note, a couple other games with weird lines that we're going to discuss this coming week. We're excited to preview the games with you. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to tell your friends. Don't forget to write in at solidverbal@gmail.com if you've got anything further to add. We're also out there on social media. And last but not least, if you're a Twos Cruise fan, going out to solidverbal.com/store and buy the official t-shirt this year madness. The Twos Cruise t-shirt now available, courtesy of our friends over at Cotton Bureau, Dan.
I recommend it. It's very comfortable.
For that guy over there, Lieutenant Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Captain Ty Hildebrandt. Ahoy!
Mm.
Fair winds and following seas. Catch you on Thursday.
Peace.